One verse to read this week coming from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. And it's kind of the punchline to a more familiar story that we often use in the spring or around stewardship time, where Jesus says, "Consider the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, how they grow. And be not afraid or have no anxiety, for your Father provides for them and for you." Well, the punchline to that story is this, from verse 32. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jeannie and I got married almost 17 years ago, and my dad was deeply honored, he thought, that we asked him to be our best man. And I told him why we did that, and then this is, I guess, why he felt honored. I told him he was the best man I know. And I know myself pretty well, and that's still true. He is the best man I know. Not because he's perfect, and not because I want to sort of over sugarcoat any of his faults or weaknesses, as I wouldn't any of the rest of ours. But one of the things that he's shown me in many ways growing up is how to deal with adversity, and especially how to deal with adversity of your own making. So he's the best man I know. He's a good dad. And so I have in my mind this notion of my own good dad and this bigger notion of our Father, the creator and giver of all things, and how living with both of those realities at more or less the same time informs our lives and gives us new ways of interacting with one another in God's world. So this is a piece on a generous father and a good dad. Generous father, good dad. One of the good things about my dad is that he tends to his place. He's, among many other things, a gardener, which is why, since I picked the hymn for today, we picked In the Garden, because that's where he spent a lot of his time throughout the course of his life. When I was a child, I knew him as Mr. Fix-It. He could take broken things and make them less broken. Not perfect, but less broken. And our house and his house and everybody's house where people live that he knows has something that he has made in his wood shop over the years. So he makes things, he tends to things, he fixes things. So also does the one who created all things. And this last week or so, we got a window into a piece of that all things creation that has left us both inspired and motivated in much the same way my good dad has done that. We saw on this Alaskan trip we took three glaciers and a pretty extraordinary window into prehistoric time, really. We saw a glacier that is on the side of a mountain that doesn't melt. It's just so dense that it just doesn't melt, and we saw it from afar. We were lucky enough to actually stand on a glacier in just outside Juneau. And that's almost indescribable, to stand on a glacier and feel all of the history and geology and archaeology of that. And the third glacier we saw was, well, we didn't actually see it. We saw pieces of it. We went up one of the fjords in the coastal Alaskan area toward what's called Dawes Glacier. It's called a tidewater glacier. And we couldn't get to it because it's breaking apart. And it's breaking apart with very large pieces and also small pieces. So we saw a lot of the small icebergs, but could only get about 9 miles close because the ship would be at risk and couldn't turn around if we'd gone any further. It's breaking apart. Well, there's an ecological lesson in that. And without getting into the politics of climate change, there is change going on. And that reality and the starkness of it in a place that I've never seen and will never see again, has left me sort of motivated to tend to things, as my dad tended to his little garden, in ways that are different. We vowed to, when we got back, to start recycling glass again, which is not easy to do in Lubbock because Lubbock's glass recycler broke. Well, it turns out there's a glass recycling mechanism through the Texas Tech campus, and you can bring glass there, but it's hard to find. So we decided that to honor the Creator, the generous God that gave us, well, among other things, the glacier, and to respect the ideology that I learned from my good dad, we're just going to do one thing for the earth. We're going to do one thing for the earth and the ground, and that is tend to it incrementally by recycling glass. It may seem like a small thing, but the energy behind it connects me to the creation and to my dad. So to honor the generous father and our good dads, do something for planet Earth, first thing. Secondly, learn something. Learn something edifying about somebody different from you. Learn something edifying about it. Interesting that the Bible doesn't say it's your father's good pleasure to give you your kingdom. It's your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And if you look around, the people in the kingdom, we're all a little bit different. We're all not quite the same. We come from different countries, out of different cultures. And even in the same culture, we have different religious beliefs and certainly different political beliefs. And if we are all part of the kingdom, it calls to mind an insight that I think would move us forward. And that is, there's a difference between an opponent and an enemy. There's a difference between an opponent and an enemy. If I had asked you a week ago, could anyone in this room tell me, and I couldn't have, I had to write it down. Can anyone you tell me who the U.S. congressperson is who represents the 1st Congressional District in Louisiana, which is the Baton Rouge area? Anybody probably couldn't have. We certainly would now recognize that that person is Stephen Scalise, whose name was in the news this week because he was the victim of horrible, dreadful violence in, of all places, the sacred ground of a baseball field. I don't know if anyone can still tell me who the representative from the 2nd Congressional District of Ohio. His name is Brad Wenstrup, also a Republican. And Brad Wenstrup was also on that baseball field and, to Steve Scalise's great good fortune, is a combat surgeon, in addition to being a member of the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, they're both Republicans, and there's a lot of divisive rhetoric going on with regard to that label and others, but nobody on either side of the aisle or anywhere in this country cares a lick today about Brad Wenstrup's vote on the health care bill. He's a combat surgeon and saved a life, which transcends the whole thing, and that's my point. There are people who oppose us socially and politically about whom there is something edifying. So to honor our generous God and to live in the spirit of our good dads, find something edifying about an opponent. I would like to tell you that my dad is the second person who ever lived that is sinless. He's not. But one thing I never heard him do, I never heard him speak derisively or degradingly or in a derogatory way about another human being, ever. Human beings with whom he disagreed, whose behavior appalled him. He knew the difference between critique of behavior and character assassination. There's a difference. So if we find something edifying in an opponent and dial back the derision, we honor our good dads and also give thanks for the Father who gives us the kingdom. Do something for the planet. Find something edifying in an opponent. And thirdly, leave people a memory. My dad is a storyteller. Storyteller of, actually, the story he's best known for telling are really, really, really lame jokes. Never mind. But he will always live in my mind as someone who's always got a story. And lately we've seen a lot of pictures of people that I never met, but know them through stories and carry them in memory. I thought today, oddly, of Brian J. Williams, who I never met, but I feel like I know, because so many people who knew him have left me with memorable stories. 9 o'clock worship service, Donnie Cornell came up and showed me a $2 bill that Brian J. Williams had given him on Donnie Cornell's high school graduation, which is many years ago. He said, here's $20 to spend and here's $2 for luck, and he still got it. And I don't think Donnie's the only one in this town that's got one of those from Brian J. My point is that we honor the creator of all things, the generous God, and our own good dads by leaving people with memories, stories, pictures, or experiences. Experiences. One last thing. On the Mendenhall Glacier, standing and walking and experiencing that, we saw small little streams running through. Not very wide, not very deep, crystal clear water. And the glacier guide, to our surprise, said, hey, let's do the Mendenhall push-up, and dropped down a flat and leaned in and took a drink of this glacier water, which is apparently among the purest water on Earth, all by itself. Of course, we sent that note to our ecology-minded daughter, and she said, oh, that used to be mammoth's bath water. But it is clear and fresh and cold, this sip of water. Put me in touch, and I know I get philosophical about this, put me in touch with eternal things. Because there is not a single drop of water on this earth ever that didn't originate in a rain cloud or by some cycle in an underground stream. Every single drop of fresh water is a gift from the generous Creator. Now, there's mass quantities of salt water that no one can drink, but that are habitats for food. But fresh water is a window on the eternal. It all comes from the generous God who gives us the kingdom. And we are 70% fresh water. All that we have and all that we are come to focus every time we take a sip of water from any place. And if you stop just once to think about it, the next time you take a sip of water, and know that it is a holy thing, you will know that it's true, that it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen.